Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, marriage and family therapist, mentor, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. And she uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we're all grappling with, and sometimes avoid. It's 2 o'clock. Time now for our weekly appointments with the Reluctant Therapist. And where are we going today, Elizabeth?
Today we're going deep into the recesses of our mind, Brad.
Ooh, that's a scary place sometimes.
It can be a scary place. Isn't that interesting? I can remember being in my 20s, in my college years, in my 20s, and probably into my 30s as well, that being alone with my thoughts in my head felt super overwhelming. And I recognize that in my students as well when I'm, you know, giving them different assignments, especially those that require them to be quiet, that they're so uncomfortable alone with their thoughts. And of course, the, you know, time spent on social media now, being able to doom scroll and just hang out and watch Netflix and just keep your mind constantly entertained, they have less capacity for that silence and the quiet in their head. And I remember kind of the switch when I started to really love my brain. I don't know what else to call it, my psyche, myself,
sure.
my company, my own company, I guess would be it. And one of the first things I did a 6-week solo trip driving across the United States and then stayed by myself back east. And I never turned on my radio.
Wow.
And it was like I had company the whole time. I loved that, just being in that space where I could just think and process. And it was such a great feeling, but it was so profound because it was such a switch from always having to have something to keep me occupied or, you know, keep my brain busy so that I wouldn't feel anxious or wouldn't feel, you know, sidetracked or whatever. And so that kind of is this goal, isn't it, for all of us in our mental health journey, is to find that place of peace. Because we talk a lot about, you know, you need to learn to love yourself. It's so important to learn to love yourself. And I think that's really challenging for a lot of people because this whole idea that I'm going to have this, you know, grace and compassion and full love for myself can in many ways be a setup for failure or continued disappointment. It's like, well, if I'm not loving myself or if I am critical with myself, then somehow I fail just the basics of, you know, being a good human. But what if we switched that away from you need to learn to love yourself to you need to learn to be with yourself in whatever form that takes. And the ultimate goal of mental wellness would be having a sense of comfort of just being with yourself, wherever the thoughts take you, and to be curious about what is happening in your psyche or to the things you're drawn to. And that'd be such less pressure than this idea that I have to perfectly feel this sense of, about myself whenever I'm alone. And that all kind of fits into the theme for this month, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we talk, you know, a lot about reducing stigma and making sure that people have access to mental health care. But when we talk about those things, we really focus on the talk therapies or the different therapies where it's you and a clinician, kind of a one-on-one thing, or maybe couples therapy. And in rare cases, we don't do it as much as we used to, family therapy where everybody is there. But we rarely talk about mental health care in a community sense or in a group sense. And what does it look like to do mental health care work in a group setting where you're sharing this experience with other people who have similar challenges or similar life experiences? And then you get to kind of support each other on this journey of healing and discovery. And then again, it's another thing that I want to table. I get tired of the term healing, that we need to talk about our healing or I'm moving towards my healing, because healing is just living, that we're always in the process. Living is about making choices and decisions that try to support our mental health and physical health. And so instead of having this idea that there's a healing, like I got cut in my hand and I put Neosporin in a Band-Aid and then it heals and the Band-Aid's off and I'm fine, mental health care isn't like that. There isn't a, you know, healing and it's gone. As a matter of fact, if we were going to continue the metaphor with mental health, you get the scar on your hand and you put the Neosporin on it. And then when you take the Band-Aids off, you have the scar and that experience lives on forever with you. And so truly helpful mental health care that helps us accept that we have the scar and not try to erase it or forget it or, you know, cover it, but to say, oh, I have the scar. That's part of my story. So let's leave healing also off the table for today and focus more on the living piece. And what is it like to go through the daily process of living? And part of that is building a community, and again, a little overused, but building a place where you have the opportunity to get together and gather and feel like you're seen and heard and that other people have similar experiences. And so that you don't feel so isolated or you don't feel so strange or something's wrong with you or you're broken. Because those are the other things that I remember about being in my early 20s and teen years and really having the sense that, oh my God, if anyone knew what went on in my head, they would not want to come near me.
Right.
Right. So to have had an opportunity to sit with a group of people and share those thoughts and to have everyone else say, me too, I also experienced that, is such a healing, I'm not trying to get that word away. Okay. Such a great lived experience to be able to say, wow, this is not something that's rare or different or makes me odd. And in some ways, it's the part of me that's really unique. And ideally, once we've had that experience where we normalize what we're experiencing, or at least feel that others also understand that and have gone through similar struggles or challenges, then we can push that aside a bit and actually make space for living. Because oftentimes when we feel like we're struggling or there's something wrong with us or we shouldn't think this way or that we should love ourselves more or that we're basically a bad person, all the ways that we, you know, kind of mark ourselves as unworthy, when we get so caught up in that, there's no space for the actual living part. Our living is more about, you know, critiquing our every move. And so when we're critiquing, we're not really living. To add one more layer to the living conversation, living is when we're so in the moment of whatever it is we're doing that we don't have time for self-critique, that we don't even bother with noticing those things that we struggle with because we're so in the flow of playing music or being with our family or having sex or hiking in the forest or swimming in the ocean or reading a great book, you know, something that's so engaging that we just feel completely full. That's living. And that's what we want to fill our days with. And so to make room for filling our days with living, then it'd be important to maybe have a community experience, a group that you can get together and kind of talk about the stuff with. And in the mental health care world, marriage and family therapists, psychologists, social workers, all the helping professionals, part of our licensed practice is to actually meet together with other professionals on a weekly basis so that we can talk about our clients, but also talk about how we're doing and how our lives are and how we're feeling so that we can process anything that might prevent us from being fully focused and present for our clients. And so isn't it interesting that in the professional world, we already have this group model that we're getting together and sharing and commiserating and telling really dark and humorous stories and also supporting each other's experiences. That's part of the job. So it would make sense then that we should probably focus that much energy on getting our clients connected into group experiences that also support and normalize and give them a sense of belonging to a community. Either it's a D&D group, it can be a LARPing group, it can be a rock climbing group, it can be a campfire group, it can be any sort of community or group organization where you feel like you have like-minded interests. So having said all of that, I do have a guest today in the studio who has kind of brought in experience around group work and the power of having a community of like-minded individuals who support your interests. And I also have a history with our guest. My guest today is Kate Armstrong. Kate came into my life, I don't know how long ago, 5 years ago maybe, as a student at Cal Poly, longer than that. Mm-hmm. Kate actually went to high school with my niece that we didn't know until you took my class at Cal Poly, took one class with me, then a second class with me, and then worked here at the station as my intern helping with the show. Came and visited my husband and I on one of your travels. Mm-hmm. I mean, our lives have been intertwined in and out for a long time. But the beauty of, one, just knowing you, Kate, is to have seen you kind of blossom and find your voice, not just a speaking voice, but a beautiful singing voice. Mm-hmm. And so Kate's actually having a full circle moment here, being on the show as a guest and not my intern. Mm-hmm. But also Kate is one of our performers at Live Oak this mm-hmm. year.
I'm so excited.
I know, so excited. I know how to lead into that to make it more, I don't know, I wanted to build the tension around it as well. But congratulations on being one of our performers Sunday morning.
Thank you.
I'll be there with bells on.
Yes.
And so Kate is a singer-songwriter. But also a mental health advocate. And so along with her creative, she's also has a professional position working with TMHA, which is a local organization, Transitions Mental Health. And she works with groups and works with individuals and has a lot of experience connecting people to each other and to services in her job as a center supervisor of Hope House Wellness Center. So I'm proud of you for both of those things.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's been a journey.
So today I've invited Kate in to play us a little music so we can get a taste of what she'll be playing Sunday morning at Live Oak mm-hmm. this year. And also we're going to be hearing a song that Kate wrote for Transitions Mental Health. And we're going to hear another song and more songs of Kate. And then we're going to also talk about what it is to have community healing and what that looks like. And not just community healing through an organization like TMHA, but Kate has also found the support and a lot of growth and opportunities for living and being creative in the music world here on the Central Coast. And I'm excited to have her talk about that. But before we jump in and hear from Kate, her story, we're going to hear from Kate musically. Mm-hmm. So if you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you're welcome to be part of the conversation by giving us a call at 805-781-3875. You can also find me after the show at elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can send me an email there or leave me a message on Instagram or Facebook, and we have a nice picture of Kate and her new album that's coming out. Is it an EP or an album?
Album in the fall.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's up there. You can leave me a message there as well. You can find previous shows at kcbx.org, and you can also podcast our show wherever it is you get your podcasts, or also now Spotify. Mm-hmm. You can find us. So make sure you check us out on Spotify and leave a review so more people can hear wonderful people like Kate. Mm-hmm. All right. So why don't you take a moment to introduce the song, and then Kate's going to play for us.
All right. So this is my song called Hold It All that came out in February, and yeah.
That's it?
It's a nice universal song, I think. When I played it at the New Times Music Awards at Slobu Rock in November, it's beautiful to have everybody sing along, and that's one of my favorite parts. So hopefully you can join me at Live Oak and we can all sing together.
I love that. Okay.
Cool. I know you've seen all sides of me, and I know it's not all pretty. Thanks for walking with me as I try. I know that nothing's black and white, but I still try to catch your eye with certainty. It's a crime. There's no one way to tell it all. We've both got wounds, we're both at fault. I think I'll need reminders till I die. I guess that all I'm trying to say is I don't regret the mess we made. Just learning to take it all in stride. So I straighten my spine, open my mouth, let all the truth pour on out. I can hold it all. I've had enough time to think and learn. Don't need to let this bridge burn. I can hold it all. I can hold it, I can hold it all. I can hold it, I can hold it all. You might say I feel a lot, but I gotta try and call my shots. Why are you concerned with what I am not? My anger's seen the light of day, and I won't forget the role you played. But don't think for a second my love's gone. You're still the guy I met that day, and I'm still the girl who tried to stay, holding on to hope you'd be the one. It seems that no one's story fits the truth, that I got sick of it. Will you try to hold it all with me? So we straighten our spines, open our mouths, let all the truth pour on out. We can hold it, we can hold it all. We've had enough time to think and learn. Don't need to let this bridge burn. We can hold it, we can hold it all. We can hold it, we can hold it all. We can hold it, we can hold it all. It seems too simple to let it go. Isn't there a purpose for this pain? Well, resentment is a one-act show that never makes its way to fame. So I straighten my spine, I open my mouth, let all the truth pour on out. I can hold it, I can hold it all. I've had enough time to think and learn. Don't need to let this bridge burn. I can hold it, I can hold it all. I can hold it, I can hold it all. I can hold it, I can hold it all. I can hold it, I can hold it all. I can hold it, I can hold it all.
That's Kate Armstrong, her song, Hold It.
Hold it all.
Hold it all. I got teary. I am so proud of you. If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and my guest today is Kate Armstrong, who I first met when she was a undergrad at Cal Poly, and here she is today, a thriving musician, singer-songwriter, and also mental health advocate in her role with Transitions Mental Health as a center supervisor. But Kate, would you have imagined when you started at Cal Poly that you would be have written a song and be performing this at Shebang and at different festivals and at Live Oak?
Honestly, hell no.
Yeah. Because what did you go into Poly to study when we first met?
I started as child development because I wanted summers off.
And deep thinking there. I like that.
Yes. And I switched to sociology, and I still stayed in the psych and child development realm with minors. But yeah, I just wanted something broad and people-oriented, and it's definitely changed a lot.
And so along, you know, your journey through college, when did you start playing? Because I would imagine, you know, you sang in the choir as a kid and learned to play the guitar. But when did you start to, like, really tap into it? At what point?
I started doing open mic nights at the beginning of college. And then after COVID, it was one of those like first social events I went back to. And I had run into somebody and he was talking about how he wanted to start a band. And he was like, I'm looking for a singer. And I was like, oh, wow, like I'd be interested in that. So 2021 was the year that I started getting involved in the music scene. And pretty much since then, I've been involved in some capacity. So yeah.
And what about the songwriting? Were you doing that before when you were
younger? Yeah. My sister inspired me to begin with. She was the one who started songwriting as a kid first. But we had a piano and she started playing guitar. So I always started like playing around with it probably in middle school and into high school and college, but super casually. Really, it's been songwriting. It's been more of a serious journey in the last like 4 or 5 years, I would say. Yeah.
And so post-graduation, mm-hmm, how did you kind of get your footing underneath you and find yourself where you are with these kind of dual roles? Because you've stayed in the mental health field, which was the original goal, to do something working with people. Mm-hmm. But then in adding this creative outlet? How did you find those two?
I feel like it was just one of those happenstance situations. I mean, speaking to like your wisdom and your classes, getting to have the encouragement to just take some time off and kind of allow my brain to process everything that I just been through college, through COVID, because I was in college during COVID. Mm-hmm. So I took some time to be a camp counselor at Natoma and Paso and do some traveling. And the job really didn't come forth until 2 years ago, starting to go to Mental Health Awareness Months for TEMA. I had decided to move back to SLO just based on friends and people I had around in the community, but I didn't really have like a purpose to be like, I'm going to get this kind of job at this kind of nonprofit. It was just because I started getting involved. And so I had my music going, and the music was really what was coming about in my time off. So it was kind of that creative spark of like, okay, this is what I think about when I don't have school to worry about. Like, these are the things that are driving me to like stay active, to connect with more people, to build more community. Like, music was really becoming that like space that I found myself in more as an individual. So
kind of what I was saying at the opening, that you have to have a period of time where you're quiet enough in order to really discover what it is you're interested in. And we're encouraged to just keep ourselves so busy, always be productive, and then just moving from thing to thing. And I wonder if you hadn't just kind of taken that time, that had the privilege to be able to take that quiet time, that you would have maybe skipped music altogether.
Yeah, I know. That's a scary thought.
Especially because you're having such a great time.
Yeah. No, it was huge. I mean, to just have that space where I could like hear myself for the first time, it felt. And then knowing going into like my career search that I had that to protect, it made it a lot more meaningful to know like, okay, we can figure out what a work-life balance means and trying to maintain my community while doing that. So,
and you mentioned briefly how you found your way to TEMA, Transitions Mental Health. For people who might not be aware of the organization, can you talk a little bit about who they are, what they do, and actually how you did find your way into this position?
Yeah, totally. So TEMA is a fabulous mental health nonprofit in both San Luis Obispo County and Northern Santa Barbara County. And our whole mission is to eliminate stigma in mental health and really work towards recovery and folks with mental illness in a number of areas. So that's housing, that's jobs, that's family support, that's community, all that good stuff. And you're going to see that throughout the community in a lot of different ways, and especially during Mental Health Awareness Month, which is May, we really have a lot of events. So during that time, 2023 was when I first got involved. They had this event called Journey of Hope, which they still have in the fall now, but they bring a speaker in, they have tables of resources, and I just went to that event.
How did you hear about it?
I heard about it because I had applied to a job at TEMA already, and the program manager, Michael Kaplan, who's the community engagement director at TEMA, was just like, I want to make sure you stay involved with the community. So he let me know about the event. And I showed up and I found a table for the wellness centers, and the program manager, Tanya, at the time, she was there and she's telling me about all the groups. And I was like, so you're telling me you just have a jam session and that's considered community mental health? Like, that sounds amazing. So she encouraged me to apply. And yeah, it was pretty quick after that. I started working part time for Hope House in June of 2023, and I've just stuck around, so I've kind of moved up in the roles, and yeah, now I supervise the center, which is pretty cool.
So what are the centers, and what do they offer to the community?
Yeah, so this is our like community function for TEMA. So the wellness centers are a community mental health center space. There's three of them in SLO County. So there's one at Atascadero called Life House, Hope House in San Luis Obispo, where I work, and then there's Safe Haven in Arroyo Grande, and then there's also wellness centers in Santa Barbara County and Lompoc in Santa Maria as well.
All part of the same organization.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All part of the same organization, and we all do the same things, which is providing peer-led support groups. So I definitely would love to dive into what peer support is, because I didn't know about it when I was in college going into my mental health journey, but essentially, to boil it down, we offer support groups every day of different conversation-based groups, activity-based groups, all hoping to really meld that space of connection and get people out of isolation, get people kind of learning coping skills, practicing together, having conversations. So it's a very dynamic space, but people get a lot of value out of it.
So let's talk about Hope House. I'm assuming that all the houses have similar, all the organization centers have different or similar opportunities. Mm-hmm. If I'm someone with a teenager or myself, do I have to have a diagnosed mental illness to be able to come in to one of the centers?
That's not something that we ask when we do the intake form. You do have to be above 18 for now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we get folks connected and we just do like a quick intake appointment. And you don't have to have insurance. You don't have to pay for it. It's a free service to all community members.
So if you're struggling and feeling like you want to connect and can find more meaning or value or connection, mm-hmm. you would just call Hope House Wellness or go online. I would imagine a list of workshops are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we come out with new calendars every month. We tend to keep things pretty consistent just for, you know, the nature of consistency being supportive in a mental health journey. But yeah, we make changes with different offerings, and you can give us a call, you can send us an email, and we can pretty much set up an intake appointment. It takes like 20 or 30 minutes and that's it. After that, you can come to any group. You don't have to make an appointment. You just show up and
What are some of the groups that people can participate in?
Yeah. So I kind of like to camp them in two areas, either like a conversation, like identity-based group, like around a particular mental health diagnosis. So we have things like Living Well with Bipolar is a group that I lead, Anxiety and Depression, Voices and Visions, things like that. And then we have more of our like coping activity-based groups like music sharing or poetry writing or self-compassion groups, sharpening social skills, things like that. So depending on what the group is, you're going to be like there for an hour typically and participating in that activity or having that conversation, and you're always going to have a peer-led facilitator to kind of keep the conversation going, ask questions, things like that.
And so if someone wanted to just sharpen their communication skills or share their music or poetry, that would be available mm-hmm. to them.
Every week.
And you had also mentioned there were activities or excursions. Mm-hmm. Is that also part of the group?
Yeah, we do outings every month. Go to places like Montaña de Oro, or we'll go to do a beach cleanup up at the Pismo Preserve, or, you know, things like that. So we definitely focus on the wellness within the center, but also like getting people out in the community and like going walks around downtown and getting familiar with the businesses and just kind of like melding that, like, yes, we have a mental health diagnosis and maybe feel that stigma in some way, but like we want to make sure that you know that you're still welcome anywhere you go in San Luis Obispo because you're part of our community, you know, regardless.
So kind of the theme of the show is this idea of group or community wellness, or what is it like to kind of be with others and to feel that support and to actually feel like we're living. You know, there's been a lot of research post-pandemic about how difficult it's been for people to get back out or be involved in the community. But even pre-pandemic, we weren't doing great as a society participating. We've seen the reduction of participation in community organizations, service organizations, sports and activities, recreation, like everything had been going down. And now it's been even more evident that the numbers of people that are active have gone down. And there's so much research that supports the, you know, positive experience that we have when we're in groups together. And I was, you know, just looking at some of my notes from back when I was in grad school about group therapy and peer-led therapy groups. And it's interesting because everything you mentioned, we're kind of along that we go to these groups to address shared challenges in a structured setting. So a little different than just getting together with friends at a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. These have kind of purpose-driven goals. So you're going to share your music, or you're going to talk about living with anxiety, or you're going with the intention of improving your communication skills. To have that structured setting kind of gives it a sense of stability, because sometimes people are nervous about just having a random coffee, you know, talk or mm-hmm. a cocktail party conversation. Yeah. The other benefit is sharing similar issues and goals and, you know, a sense of connection and reducing that isolation, because when you hear people talk about things that resonate with you, that reduces so much of that sense of feeling isolated or alienated or like you're out of the loop. And then the other part I love about the peer-led experience, and I'm sure you've had a lot of these, is that the people who come learn from each other, mm-hmm. that it's not like therapy or a workshop where you're going and an expert comes and teaches you skills, that the focus really is on the group and learning from each other's experience and offering support and guidance and encouragement. And that also helps build self-esteem, because when you are able to help another person, mm-hmm. it alleviates some of that feeling of being less than.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's spot on. And I think that's my favorite part about it, is it really takes the pressure off of this like hierarchical space that can exist within like other therapeutic settings, because mm-hmm. everybody's on the same level. All you have to be a part of this space is some kind of lived experience that you can speak to. Mm-hmm. And we don't encourage advice giving, of course. It's a touchy subject in this field.
Thank you for saying that.
But coming from a place of, like you were saying, like when somebody's sharing their story and they're being so vulnerable and specific to their lived experience, it allows a door to open for other folks to be able to share, hey, I've been there too, and these were the things that like I tried to support myself, and these were the things that worked for me, and these are the things that didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And it just creates that space to bond in that way, knowing that, yeah, you're not alone in that experience, and you know that you have somebody to turn to. And when that is the space of like connection, then how special is that to be able to build upon that? Whereas like, yeah, maybe in a coffee shop setting, you wouldn't feel as comfortable to like navigate telling somebody that you have schizophrenia, you know, like that might be a difficult conversation to have. But like when you're in a group with shared experience, then you can really like relax into yourself a little bit more and know that, yeah, you're not alone and you're all on that journey together. So the community space, I think, is really top notch.
And research has also shown that when people meet in groups, when they gather in groups, their sense of safety and that the community at large is a safer place, or that doesn't feel as scary. The world feels less scary. Mm-hmm. The news feels less scary when we have kind of groups that we can connect with and feel comfortable in. If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and my guest today is Kate Armstrong, singer, songwriter, mental health advocate. We're here talking about Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're talking about Kate's career as a singer and creative and her upcoming performance at Live Oak Music Festival on Sunday morning. I'm excited. But also, Kate has written a song for Mental Health Awareness Month and for TMA. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'd love to. So this song came about as a collaboration with the community engagement director, Michael Kaplan, of just noticing, you know, part of what we have to do as TMA is like we do our service, but we have to tell the community about it and keep them informed. And so this project came about of there being an opportunity to offer some promotion for the Central Coast Hotline. And so, of course, when I heard that, I was like, well, yeah, of course I would be a part of that. So when the song was created, I didn't know that this was going to be the song that I would use for it. It's kind of has just been in my back pocket. And it was a song that I wrote with one of my bandmates, Edmund McGinley. And I think what for me is so special about utilizing music as a medium to connect in this way and share resources like this is like I get to use my like one individual moment of an experience and allow it to be a platform for other folks to like also sink into that feeling space with me, because I think what can be really hard about this work is burnout, and people are facing really intense and scary things when you're on the front lines, and it can just feel really defeating sometimes to feel like you're alone in that process. And so my honor of being a part of it was getting to use my like skill and love and passion for music to kind of be voice for this mental health movement in my eyes. So to get to share it as promotion for the hotline and to maybe reach people in that like feeling setting can maybe offer them that space of, okay, we want to tell you that you're not alone, but hopefully now you can feel it and mm-hmm. can know that you can utilize this resource, like calling the hotline when you're really in that moment of crisis. So
the name of the song?
All I Need.
This is Kate Armstrong, and you're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We're going to hear Kate's song. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX, and my guest, Kate Armstrong, and her song, All I Need. Mm. That is just beautiful, Kate.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you. And so this song is now going to be part of the awareness campaign for Hotline, part of Mental Health Awareness Month. So how do people utilize Hotline?
Yeah, so it's a 24/7 free confidential service where anywhere you're at, you can give them a call and get resources, have somebody to talk to. They've got a great staff and volunteers that run it all the time.
I think some of our Cal Poly student interns have worked the hotline number, don't they, as well?
Yeah.
And so if people are feeling in the moment of calling Hotline or getting involved with TMHA, there's some open houses that you're having this month to celebrate. I don't know if you have them in front of you, but I have a few. So this weekend on May 16th in Arroyo Grande at Safe Haven, there's a wellness center open house. So anyone can come and kind of check out the programs. I didn't have the times for that.
There are 12 to 3, all of them.
And where is the location in Arroyo Grande?
It's right near the village. It's, right off of the Fair Oak exit on 101.
Okay.
It's a sweet little spot. They have a beautiful porch. Everybody's going to have food, activities, all that good stuff. So that's on the 16th.
And then on the 23rd, there is an open house at the Hope House Wellness where you work, the corner of Napomo and Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Is that also from 12 to 3?
Correct.
And I hear you're going to be playing there.
Yeah. I'm just going to play a quick little set to celebrate our community and share the song because the song's coming out on that day.
Oh, okay.
So,
and if people are interested in finding your music, how do they do that?
So anywhere on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, wherever you get your music. You can find us.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And then the last open house will be on May 30th at the Life House in Atascadero, also 12 to 3. And I don't know where that's located.
That is on West Mall. It's right across from City Hall.
And then also on May 30th, Music and Muses and Closing of the Opening Minds Art Gallery at the Bunker. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's a really special event for TEMA. So our volunteer coordinator, Clara Cobb, she does a great job putting this on. So it's a whole month of art and writing featured at the Bunker in SLO. So we put the call out to the community a couple months in advance so people can submit art, people can submit writing, and it's expressive arts. So, yeah.
I love expressive arts.
At that
event. Are they still accepting pieces?
It's closed. Okay. But, yeah, so that event is going to be all of the folks who submitted writing pieces are going to be sharing their words that night. And then me and my trio, Katie Lady, are going to be playing a set to end
the
night.
Katie Lady. I love that too. And so for Mental Health Awareness Month, does TEMA have like any special groups, activities that people get involved with or excursions, anything you know is coming up? Are you leading anything exciting?
Yeah. I mean, what's cool for me about the open house, that's our biggest thing, is it really takes a village to put it on. So I really pull in the members of Hope House as much as I can. So folks, our Hope House members are leading events. They're leading activities. One of our Hope House ambassadors has been like recording little videos of featuring people and their stories at Hope House that we're sharing on our YouTube account. So it's kind of just this opportunity for everybody to share their own personal twist on how they view the community at that event. So that's definitely our centerpiece. And then we're also having an event at the Growing Grounds in Farm in Santa Maria on the 23rd as well. I think that's from 11 to 1. So
definitely. That's a great place to go visit. The Growing Grounds in Santa Maria is so wonderful. And they have great produce that you can buy. I've been down to a few of their open farmers markets. And then the hotline number, because I know there's a few different hotlines that are available. Which is the one that TEMA supports?
Yeah. So if you ever are in need of the hotline, the phone number is 800-800-783-0607. And what's great about this resource is you can text or call. So anytime.
An 800 number is a text line too?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's that again? 800?
800-783-0607.
Okay.
And what we really do is encourage people to save that in their phone. Send it to your friends. Keep it, you know. And we have QR codes all over that you can just scan and have that saved. So you never know when you're going to need it. You never know who's going to need it. So,
and also, you never know who's going to need it to be able to pass that information on when someone's in need is so helpful. Mm-hmm. Because quite often people will say to me, you know, when my friend's struggling, I didn't know what to say. They came over and they were so sad or depressed and I, you know, didn't know where to send them. And so this is a great start to have that number handy, because I think most of us at some time in our life have had a friend or a family member in crisis who needs support come to them, and we don't often have that skill set in front of us and to be able to have a 24/7, you know, outlet. And also, if you do, you know, give someone a hotline number, this hotline number or the suicide hotline number, or the texting, stay with them. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important piece of it. You don't have to have the magic words. You don't have to fix them. Don't give them advice. As Kate said, it's really difficult. People don't want to hear advice. And generally, our advice isn't helpful for other people. But do stay with them, mm-hmm. and just say, you know, I'm here with you and we'll figure this out, or I'll be with you till we get to the next step. Because that's really all people need, is someone to be with them, right, on their journey and during their crisis.
Yeah, and I'd love to speak to also just the experience of the folks who run the hotline. So speaking with the program manager, Roberto Cueva, he has just such a heart for this work, because obviously, like, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if somebody's going to need support for 45 minutes, for 5 minutes, if they need a quick resource, or, you know, they're really going through something. But I think the training that goes into the volunteering is so extensive, and they're really available and prepared for anything. And, you know, they just care so much. So it really means a lot to me to know, like, they're real people.
Yes.
They're there to support you, and they want
AI.
To. It's not
AI.
Yeah.
It's not a bot.
No.
If you'd like to be part of the conversation, our number is 805-781-3875. I'm here with my guest, Kate Armstrong, singer-songwriter, mental health advocate. And I'm talking about community and creativity and the help, how helpful it is to have the support of just a few people. We don't need a giant crowd. We just need a few people.
Mm-hmm.
805-781-3875 is our number. And we're getting down to the end of the hour, too, so now's the time to call. So, Kate, when you think about your own kind of support system, and you said you came back to San Luis Obispo a couple of years after graduating, kind of knowing that there was something here for you. So what is your group? Who is your group? What have you found, and why is it helpful?
Oh,
why are they
so
helpful?
Sweet. Yeah, well, it's interesting, because I feel like I honestly developed like a whole new community after kind of leaving for a couple months and coming back, just because I wasn't at Cal Poly anymore. My biggest...
That is a transition.
Yeah.
People think they can hang out or come back and they're just going to pick up with their buddies. But it all, once you graduate, the ship sails.
Yeah.
People leave and
everybody's
gone.
Yeah. I would say two things. So one, my housemates. I live with six other awesome people.
Now, how'd you find that?
Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. I feel so lucky. I feel like I struck gold. We have dinner together once a week. We support each other at like our different events. Like one of my housemates, Gianna, works for Sierra Club, and we go to support her at Earth Fest. And my roommate Anissa works at Bread Bike, and we go to her Bread Bike events. And so it's just nice to have that, like, we can't hang out all the time because we all have different lives and people, but like to come together when it really matters means so much. So that's really important to me. And then the music community, of course, has been huge.
Just how did you find your way into that? Because, you know, it's funny you say, oh, there's a music community, but it's not like you're meeting, you know, downtown at Meadow Park once a
week.
So how did you kind of find your way into this?
Yeah, it's been a funny journey. So I definitely started off with Songwriters at Play, which Steve Key hosts. It's like a songwriters open mic series and just showcase.
And how do people get involved with that?
You just find it on Instagram, and Steve is really great about reaching out and
asking
you.
Killing me
you.
With all the social media references.
I know.
But I get it. I mean, it's like a giant billboard of opportunities.
It is. I know. I've definitely had to embrace that, which I don't love, but, you know, we make peace how we can. But that being said, through that, I found the Feminine Collective, which another one of my great mentors and friends, Yunana Rose, started with another songwriter, Natalie Haskins. And that's a really fabulous community because it's all women, non-binary folks who want to have support in the music scene. So meeting all those people. They connected me to gigs, to other people, to other resources and opportunities. And I feel like the biggest thing for me has been just going to shows, like supporting venues like Libertine downtown, the Rod and Hammer Rock, Sonic Milk Studios in Cambria, and just kind of meeting people and like asking what kind of music they like and like, you know, just being as connected as I can.
And so it takes a certain amount of confidence in our communication skills to put yourself out. And I'm sure, you know, you feel a little anxious or nervous every time you put yourself out and introduce yourself.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But I feel like the biggest thing is I've been lucky to have like a couple friends that are also in that camp with me. And so I'll just, you know, text one of my friends and ask if they want to go to that show. And then it's like, once you're there, I don't have to be side by side with you the whole time, but like, right, I can bounce around. You're going to introduce me to this person. You're going to introduce me to this person. So I feel like developing like a couple close friends has been such a game changer for me, mm-hmm, which feels really different than things I've had in the past. So I feel very, very grateful for that.
Well, and I always want to relay that message to my students and the people I work with, is that no one, I'm not going to say no one, because maybe, mm-hmm, there's some people that just can't wait to open their mouth and have conversations. I think my dad is one of those people that, you know, he'll talk to anyone and never thinks twice about it. But for most people, there is that bit of, you know, social hesitancy to, mm-hmm, put yourself out there. What if I'm not accepted? Or what if they're boring? Mm-hmm. You know, what if the experience isn't what I hoped? And so to just kind of give ourselves that constant reminder of, oh, everybody who's in this space right now had to take an extra deep breath and then say, hey, how are you? Mm-hmm. But once you're past that part and you realize that most people most of the time are going to say, hey, how are you? That's such a relief. Yeah. And I'm amazed at how surprised my students are when they actually try it, the skills. You know, I sign them, as you know, having taken my classes, these conversation starters that they need to go out and have these conversations with people and kind of report on how it went. Mm-hmm. And they're always surprised that it actually goes well. You know, they come back as if somehow I made it up, mm-hmm, and I was trying to trick them. It's like, no, actually, it does
real.
Work. Yeah. that most people do want to have a conversation. And, you know, being on the phone and looking down has really harmed that ability for a lot of people to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering for your generation, speak on behalf of your generation, the Gen Zs. I was reading something yesterday that said that a lot of Gen Zs are having app burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And social media burnout and are wanting to have IRL experiences,
mm-hmm,
in real life.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Look at you and your acronyms.
But are you noticing that at all? Because there's so much, you know, bashing on the Gen Zs being on their phones, but some research is coming out that things are shifting.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I do feel like things that are maybe more old school, like, just have their way of being trendy. Like, I mean, I'll speak for myself, and that at least the community I'm trying to curate with my music is a lot more centered around the like real person experience. Like, a lot of the themes that like I'm trying to embed in my album release is through letter writing and like, mm-hmm, connecting through that way, because like it feels so old school, but it's like, wait, this is actually a really beautiful way to connect, and like especially slow communication, not feeling like, okay, you sent me a text, I have to respond right now. And it's like, how special is it for you to open your mailbox and see that you got a letter from your friend? Like, so when I think about like my community as Gen Z folks, I'm like, we didn't choose this life to be born into this world with smartphones. It's like, it's addicting. It's no wonder like that's where people are being drawn to. But also what's interesting is seeing the content online of like people being drawn towards those more real experiences. So like you have to showcase that on the app, but then you have to like go out in the world and do those things. But I don't know.
But wouldn't that be the hope, you know, at the end of the day, is to bring social media back into the intention, which was a tool,
mm-hmm,
to connect, to actually connect to others. So like, and I keep saying to my students, think of it as a giant billboard.
Yes,
you know, that you're like,
exactly,
oh, there's something now. I put my tool away, mm-hmm, and I go participate. And that's, I mean, I think that's ultimately how it has to shift in order to break that kind of addictive tie that people have to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So in our last moment, I would like to highlight one that you have an album coming out,
mm-hmm,
called
Love Always.
And it's featuring the song that we opened the show with, mm-hmm, today, mm-hmm, Hold It All. which is beautiful. And if people want to find your music, again, they can find you.
Spotify, Apple Music, or Instagram's Katie Lady.
And then the song we played, All I Need, is going to be released on May the 30th.
May 23rd.
May 23rd, I'm sorry. May 23rd, and you can probably hear Kate play it live at the Hope House Wellness Center in San Luis Obispo. And if you want more information about Transitions Mental Health, you can find them at their website, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we'll have a resource fair at every single open house where you can get connected to all of the services.
And what's TMHA's, I'm going to ask you, what is their website?
The website, it's just t-mha.org.
Thank you. Kate, thank you for coming in and hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And you can find out more information about Kate or TMHA by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook if you use it as a tool only to check it out like a giant billboard. You can also listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. And we have all of our shows from the last, I think, 10 years posted there. And if you want something a little more current and in your hand, you can podcast our show where anywhere you get your podcasts, also Spotify. And please leave a review so other people can find us. And we're going to close the show today with another one of Kate's song, Found. This is one of the first songs that she sent to me, and I just loved it, so I wanted to share it with everyone else. So we're going to go out with Kate Armstrong. Thank you for tuning in, listening, and supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Fortunately, people come and go. But who's the type to pick up the phone? The ones that wanna see the way you go. Who's there the times you wanna fall apart? Who trusts the ways you wanna be the goodness in your heart? How do you know the ones that really care? Got your seat at the table and pull out your chair. These seasons have got a reason to figure out which moments count. Don't hold your breath or overstress. Just look around at these people. Time is of the essence. What's the rush? I'm learning all these lessons. Some things I know and other things I don't. Please press the pause, we're trying to stay afloat. What's the recipe for slowing down? Grab the ones that make you wanna wear a stash downtown. Enjoy the ones you never thought you'd know. Be the change in every day, you'll make yourself a home.